Nightlife with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.
There's a growing food movement across the world bringing Filipino cuisine to the mainstream. It's having such an impact that trend forecasters have described one of the traditional Filipino mainstays, ube, as the uber ingredient of 2023, with claims that ube is poised to become the next big thing, the influencing flavour across food and drink categories worldwide. I bet you've never heard of it. Well, most have never heard of it. What is ube, and are you familiar with it? To help us out, Grace Ginto joins us, co-founder of the Entrepinays, or Pinays, based in Melbourne. Grace, good evening, and welcome to Nightlife.
Oh, thank you so much, Phil. I appreciate the opportunity. Just by way of introduction, I'm the co-founder of the Entrepinays, as Phil has alluded to, and I co-founded that with a fellow Filipina-Australian by the name of Des May Santos. So we're a collective of entrepreneurial Filipinas looking to introduce Filipino cuisine, culture and community to the hearts, minds and taste buds of Australians on Wurundjeri country. So we're a group that believes that the unique flavours of the motherland, including ube, is still quite underrepresented in Australia, despite Filipinos of Australians of Filipino heritage representing about the fifth largest group of Australians born overseas.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're the third largest Asian group outside of behind the Chinese and Indians. So really, together with our talented chefs and so forth.
See, I don't think people, that's right, I don't think people would realise that actually, that Filipinos, so it's Chinese one, India two, the Philippines three.
Yeah, we are, and ahead of Vietnamese. But I guess for us, you know, the problem statement came to be is like, why is it that we're the third largest of Asian descent? But our restaurant scene here, at least in Melbourne, when we first got together, didn't represent that. So,
well,
yeah,
I don't think anywhere.
To change that up.
Yeah, I don't think anywhere, Grace. I think you're right. We're way more familiar with Vietnamese food and cuisine than we would be with Filipino food. What, Entrepinays, it's a Filipino expression, isn't it? What does it mean again?
Oh, it's made up of two words. So entree being the first course of a Western meal, and pinays is a colloquial term for a female identifying individual of Filipino heritage. So we kind of sort of played with the two words.
And I thought that was a Filipina. No?
Filipina, pinays is Filipina.
Okay.
Yeah, so pinays is a female term for someone of Filipino heritage.
Got it.
But entree, we just added it to the front end of it as a preface. And it was just a play on the words of entrepreneurial, because at the end of the day, that was really the catalyst for why we got together. We wanted to use our entrepreneurial skill sets to address the problem statement. That is, how can we get Filipino flavours out there in the mass Melburnian scene and Melbourne scene?
Yeah, see, if I was asked to describe the flavours of China, then, well, it's very regional, of course, but we probably have a reasonable crack at it. We could certainly go for lemongrass and chili as key flavours in Thai cuisine. You know, we'd go for pho in Vietnamese cuisine. I think people would be hard-pressed, actually, to probably put their finger on a Filipino cuisine. So help us out here. You say the latest trend is ube. Now, what is ube? Up until this moment, I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, so ube is like a tuba that actually originates in the tropics of Asia. So we're not the only region of the world that actually has yam, but human migration has obviously resulted in the tuba being naturalized in various pockets of the world, and this includes areas of West Africa, Southeast Asia, and the Caribbean. But what is distinctly Filipino about this particular yam is that of its really vibrant purple colour.
Right. So it's a yam. It's like a purple sweet potato. Is it? Describe it for me. How big is it?
Oh, it can vary. It obviously comes from the roots of the tree, but it can vary in how big of a big in terms of like how much root there is and so forth. But it's often mistaken as a sweet potato or sweet considered as a taro, but it's actually not. It's just one of the three cultivars that exist in Asia. And in Southeast Asia, we have the intensely purple varietal. And particularly in the Philippines, we actually have a region called Bohol, which is in the country's central Visayas region, which reigns as a top ube producing province in the country, and accounts for about 35% of the country's overall production. So yeah, like that's why I think with the Filipino migrant community here in Australia, we're starting to see a lot of more of the ube being used in, various dessert applications and pastry applications. And probably the reason why it has become such an uber food trend that we're seeing across the world where Filipinos have migrated.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, I'm familiar with the taste of sweet potatoes and potatoes, of course, we know about. Tell me about the taste of ube. Does it taste like a starchy root vegetable?
Yeah, I would say so. So, but unlike sweet potatoes and yams, which are traditionally served in savory dishes, the ube is most popular in desserts in the Philippines and in other areas of Southeast Asia. So one of our good friends in New York, Nicole Penseca, she's a Filipino culture bearer and a restaurateur in New York City, and she describes it really well, which I just wanted to quote here. So ube is an amalgamation of vanilla with the nuttiness of pistachio, but the flavor is quite gentle and not too intense. And as a result of that flavor profile, you'll see a lot of sweet applications of the tuba in many of the Filipino-inspired desserts and bakes that you're starting to see across Australia.
Mm. Okay, so typically what's a typical way that Filipinos would serve this food?
Yeah, so I guess the most simplest way of enjoying ube is probably the most traditional, and that's where we turn it into a ube halia or ube jam. So essentially it would involve grating the tuba with your traditional sort of like grating utensil. You would then put it into a pot with some coconut milk, condensed milk, and if you want it extra sweet, you would actually put some more sugar into it. Uh-huh. But traditionally it's served up, it's stirred up in a large pot, and this could take, upmost to, an hour to 2 hours, depending on how moist or the tuba is to start off with and how moist, the moisture content of the condensed milk and coconut milk. Mm-hmm. And you keep on stirring it until it becomes this thick, gooey, jam-like consistency that's reminiscent of dulce de leche.
Oh, yeah.
But it's with a tropical and purple touch, obviously, with ube being the purple starch in it. So it's definitely got the reminiscence of a dulce de leche. You can spread it on toast. You can put it into your pastries. But it is a traditionally sort of tropical sort of vibe with it having that purple haze and as well as the coconutty flavours that imparted with the coconut milk and so forth.
So it's quite easy to make at home, in other words.
Yeah, I would say so. You just have to have a lot of patience, probably someone that doesn't get too tired stirring up, because you can't leave the pot unattended. You need to continue to stir it up so that the bottom doesn't catch. Yeah, it doesn't stick. Much like dulce de leche, you can't let it go off on its own. That's where we are the most traditional way of serving it up. And basically it's a spoonful into the mouth and you've got a great sweet ending to your meal there. But what you're starting to find with like the new culinarians that are coming in with Filipino heritage is that they're starting to sort of impart that flavor profile and that color to some sort of bakes that might be traditional in the Aussie bakery shops or the American sort of style bakes.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if I'm not working in my current corporate gig here on data digital transformation projects, I actually am a chief baking officer of Sweet Cora, which is a home-based catering business. And it's focused on, baking up Australian and American pastries and cakes with a Filipino accent. Mm-hmm. And so ube is one of the most important ingredients that I use to give my bakes and pastries that Filipino touch. So one example that has translated from my love of Beatrix Bakes, which is one of those North Melbourne bakeries that no longer has a front of house outpost, but they still continue to serve up their beautiful, delicious pastries and cakes, is having turned their very popular coconut shag cake into what I've called the ube coconut shag cake. And so they would have actually had a coconut sponge layer. Mine is sort of imparted with some of the ube flavorings using ube essence. And then in between the shag layers of cake, I would actually add not only the blueberry compote, which is what is traditionally in the Beatrix Bakery, but I would also put ube halia jam in between. So it has that good mix of Aussie and Filipino nods to the actual cake and is well loved by many of my customers. And then I guess with Easter coming up, Easter season, the Philippines is a largely Catholic Catholic sort of population. And, you know, ube hot cross buns becoming very popular with some Filipino bakeries and so forth. So I think the violet hue that's imparted into the dough, it's almost like a nod or homage to the Lenten colors of purple, which you might see when you go into your mass, or the priests wearing their sort of purple gowns and so forth.
But can you buy it in Australia fresh? I've never seen it in a fruit and vegetable shop. Is it available?
If you're lucky enough, you probably find some fresh ube tubers at your Asian greengrocer. So right. Footscray Market is where I go to get my fresh versions of that. But if you can't find it in its fresh form, you can also find it frozen or dehydrated in some of your Asian stores, as well as the Filipino sari-sari stores. Mm-hmm. So the other way that you can find it is in dehydrated powder form. And that's essentially, basically reconstituted when you add your coconut milk and your condensed milk into the pot, and it just comes up to this lush jam-like consistency after, you know, 1 or 2 hours of stirring in the pot.
Mm-hmm. So you presumably can buy it frozen, I guess. Can you import it from the Philippines? Is that just as good or not?
I wouldn't say it's just as good. As obviously, it's always better to get it fresh, but that's probably the most easiest way that we find it at the stores. So a lot of the times you'll find it frozen from the Philippines, from other Filipino food brands, but also Vietnamese, which Vietnamese brands as well. You'll also find it in your Vietnamese convenience stores. So that's a great option for those that live in the...
Right. I'm talking with Grace Ginto, who's a co-founder of Entrepinize, which is an organisation based in Melbourne trying to educate the taste buds of Australians about Filipino cuisine. Well, if we had a Filipino meal, what's typical here, Grace? We would obviously include ube as a dessert in there in some way. What else would we serve?
We love the juxtaposition of savoury meals that are slightly sweet, slightly sour. Mm-hmm. So probably the main dish that would probably I would introduce someone new to the cuisine to is something called adobo. So adobo is a cooking technique which leverages on vinegar to be the base of the dish. And so the most popular version of adobo is a mix of chicken and pork that's simmered away in soy sauce, vinegar, garlic and peppercorns and bay leaf, until it becomes a stew of sorts. And I would then remove the meat and protein from, I would then remove the sauce away from the rest of the meat and let the meat continue to fry up in its own lard or its own fat. Mm-hmm. And that gets all crispy on the edges and so forth. And then I would add back the sauce to thicken it up. And then that becomes almost like a gravy on your steaming hot plate of rice. So adobo, pork and chicken is one of the favourites among newbies to the Filipino cuisine.
Sounds delicious. All right, well, more power to your arm, Grace. I hope you spread the word spreads about the...
Oh, thank you so much.
The delights of...
And for those... Yeah, and those interested in finding out more, definitely look at the Melbourne Food and Wine Program for 2023. There's a whole heap of amazing events, including one that we will showcase at Mission to Seafarers on April 1st and 2nd. So check it out and enjoy some more Filipino flavors with our barrio of changemakers.
There we go. All right. Filipinos, the Filipino community, the third largest Asian community in Australia outside the Chinese and the Indian communities, which may surprise you, but there you are, and their food is to match. And if you haven't tried ube, then, well, it certainly sparked my interest. I'm going to dip my finger in it, and I encourage you to. All right, Grace, it's great to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.